Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
The all-German edition of Food Fight Radio, the most ethnically exciting food show in the country, and the show for strudelhoons. Loyal listeners of our show know that we can go off on a tangent or two, and of course, it is our goal to only and ever to focus on the food and only the food. But first, a word on viruses. My co-host Marcus is calling in today to join me on the air, and let me tell you why. A virus has invaded his body, and although not using his mass for food of any kind, it's fulfilling its destiny to transfer genetic material to other free-range grass-fed Marcuses out there, and in doing so, offer a wealth of genetic diversity to the entire species of indigenous Marcuses. Unfortunately, that means he is a blind and puffy, slobbering mess. Welcome, via telephone, Chef Marcus.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you feeling, man?
I guess just Claire.
How you guys doing? That's nice. I'm a guy now. How are you feeling exactly?
Phlegmy and puffy, and I can see out of one eye.
That was a gratuitous cough, wasn't it?
That was a really gross
you
cough.
You have the Ferris Bueller piano over there, and you're just pushing buttons. Cough, cough, cough. Since I try to stay focused on the food aspect, I was hoping to be able to use the fact that the virus is slowly devouring you, but it turns out that those things don't need to eat.
They're not even alive, it turns out. My wife was telling me that viruses are kind of like the undead.
Yeah, yeah. Zombie virus that doesn't actually eat you, which is lame, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not even eating you for food. If I were a virus, I'd kill myself. Okay, first I'd infect Neil Saavedra, and then I'd kill myself. Hey, that's what I would do.
You're already dead. You couldn't really do that, right?
Sure. I'd get a microscopic gun. The thing is I wouldn't be able to eat if I were a virus, and that would take the meaning out of life for me.
Yeah, me too. That's kind of sad. Now
yeah.
I feel bad for these little viruses. All they're doing is procreating, which is kind of gross.
Well, yeah, but still, at least you'd have procreation as a list of things that you get to enjoy for your life. Yeah, it turns out they just transfer. Viruses are good for nothing, so I was just kind of looking it up. It looks like they do have a purpose. They transfer genetic material that they get from the cell of their host, and then they go around from creature to creature, and it turns out that other species have, you know, since the beginning of time, have benefited from the fact that viruses transfer genetic material. It actually makes species better.
So you're saying I'm getting better? This mucus will turn
well,
into a cocoon,
I'm saying future Marcuses are going to be better. You're not going to get any better, sorry. But future Marcuses are going to get better. In the entire range of herding, roaming, free-range ruminant Marcuses, once this virus is done with you and leaves you, by whatever means, it's going to go off and infect other Marcuses and make them better, make their future generations better. And if you were a female Marcus, that might have a benefit for your future offspring. But you're a male Marcus in the prime of life, so it's like you're not getting any better. So really, this thing has no point for you. It's not doing you any good.
Oh, I agree.
And so there's that. I find that interesting. And it's great that that your wife was researching this thing to find out exactly how messed up you are and make you feel better about it.
Yeah, and she's like, don't touch anything in the house. Everybody
don't.
Here. So
yeah, really just don't.
Right now, you live in a bubble. You live in a little, here's your computer.
And right now, I'm in a box. So you're in a bubble and I'm in a box. Isn't that great? Yeah, we're in quarantine. Well, I am for 2 hours. You are for a few days. Today, we'll be discussing great German dinner favorites, the best restaurants to get a hearty German meal, and how you can enjoy Oktoberfest any time of year at a local brewery restaurant. We're also doing a tribute to David Hasselhoff. And this, of course, as you know, is all for our German fan, Stefan. See? They love us in Germany. So stick around or you're a real Schweinhund. Germany is a beautiful country with tasty sausages and some cute and funny words for things. For example, when I say schmuck, If I were in Germany, I'd be talking about jewelry.
Really?
Really.
That's fascinating.
And if you ever get a chance to visit Germany, you could spend some time in a Haarschmuck Fagshaft.
Okay, now you're just talking dirty.
This is a place that sells jewelry for hair. It's hair ornaments. See, they take separate words for things and they mash them together to make one big, long, really impossible to say word to invent the word for that thing. Instead of like a sentence, you get one big crazy word. I like that word. I want to say that word over and over, but I should move on. By the way, every freeway off ramp is called an asphalt.
Asphalt?
Asphalt.
Nice.
There's a sign there that says asphalt on the freeway off ramps. They must get that it's hilarious, but they still use it. That's awesome. So while Marcus gurgles on the other line, Kaiserhof is an authentic German restaurant in Ocean Beach, San Diego, where you can get things like Weinberg Schnecken, which is escargot in garlic butter. The word Schnecken typically talks about a sweet bun, think snack, but the word actually means snail. So it works great for any snail-shaped sweet bun, but also for real buttered-up snails. So be careful when you order a Schnecken, because you might be getting escargot. Schweinshaxe, which is roasted pork shank. Get it? Schwein? Like swine?
Schwein, aha!
Like pig!
I was thinking some sort of wine, but no, yeah.
No, Schwein. Like Schwein. Also, there is a Wurst plate. It's not the worst plate. It's knockwurst, bratwurst, and stuff like that. So it's got all the worsts. And for dessert, strudel. Huh?
There we go.
See?
Yeah.
Isn't the all-German show fun? Plus, I get to use my favorite movie quote, Schießt Festa.
Schießt Festa?
Yeah, it's from Die Hard. It means shoot the glass. Yeah, it's from Die Hard. It's great. It's like my favorite line in a movie. If you want sausages, go to Kaiserhof. Don't go to the Linkery in Hillcrest. I have a bone to pick with them. They have these couture sausages where the bologna has a first name and a middle name and a last name, like farmhouse spiced heritage breed ham. It's ham. Come on. And do you have to call everything house made? You're a restaurant. You're supposed to make things yourself. Call it roast chicken with straight from the can spinach. And I'd actually be more impressed with that than I am with your pathetic, pompous pontificating. Not every ingredient has to have three names, by the way. Spring Heel Cheddar, Point Reyes blue cheese, Susie's Farm iceberg lettuce. They're naming the lettuce. I have nothing against Susie or her farm, by its lettuce. I think giving it three names not only takes it a little too far, but you should feel like a schmuck for ordering it. And I'm not calling you a piece of jewelry. So if you think German food is a bit risky or too adventurous for you, ever had a hamburger? A meatloaf?
Yes.
A hot dog? And who doesn't love spicy mustard? Or sauerkraut on a hot dog? I'm getting hungry again. These are all this is the hearty cuisine of German immigrants inspired these food, which the average white bread Americans eat every day. And I think they think they're American creations, by the way. There's no such thing as American cuisine. It's a hodgepodge of all the food from all the people that have moved here, which makes the food in this country more interesting than any other country in the world. And did you know that more Germans have moved here historically than any other immigrant group?
Really?
Really? Seriously?
You do have a big population. I do run into a lot of Germans. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're one out of every five people in the U.S. has German ancestry. It has shaped the cuisine of America since the beginning. Our quick commercial break coming up. Next up after the break, in a continued effort to make the German show even more interesting, we'll be talking about the best German pastries. We'll continue about the effect of German immigration on American cuisine. What's a better way to go to completely overkill on something than talking it to death? We'll get you noshing on Schnecken. And coming up, I'm also going to drink the most disgusting thing ever found in a can. And in the second hour of Food Fight, we'll have Dave the Vitamin Guy to tell us how we can burn fat only with vitamins. No weights, walking, or whining. It's all here on Food Fight Radio after this.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinthenumber2night.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS. Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks. The only show that'll call you out for being a real strudelhund. In a good way, I think. That's a compliment. Not a real word? Well, I don't care, because I'm making up a new one. Chef Marcus is homesick today and has graciously called in, which I think is brave of him in his diminished capacity. He doesn't stand a chance against my barrage of insults.
I usually don't stand much of a chance, but yeah, I'll try. I'll hold up my end.
So we're going to continue our conversation about German immigrants as they influence American cuisine. And since we're talking about 1 out of every 5 Americans has some German ancestry, so you listeners out there are possibly part German and are therefore obligated to listen to the entire show and not change the channel. Ha! Traditional German food here is usually kind of getting knocked, and dining at an authentic German restaurant is usually thought of as some kind of Epicurean adventure. It's not at all like weird island cuisines where the locals might eat palm tree worms stewed in volcano hot chilies or live sushi still twitching like in Japan. You got to have like an iron composition to eat that stuff. We're talking about normal cow and pig parts that have been cooked and roasted and stuffed with things into other things. Normal food. So buck up, squeamish diners. Give Germansky food a chance. So a bit off topic here. We're going to be talking about the language, for example. This is like it's a little off topic, but that's what we're known for. English as it is today is a combination of Germanic dialects from northern Germany, Holland, and western Denmark that combined in one way or another to form what was called Anglo-Saxon, which was the basis of English, give or take. To make a long story short, it is the modern version of Old West German. That's what English is. So if you don't think that there's anything German you experience the course of the day, yeah, when you open your mouth to speak, there's a German influence right there. I found this online doing research for this show, but this is interesting to me, so you're all kind of stuck listening to it. So Angles, Saxons, and Jutes The sea robber races, which is pirates, I guess, reached and settled on the eastern shores of England, and the combination of the language spoken by them came to be called the Anglo-Saxon, or the Old English, around the year 1100. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
Sort of. With like Chaucer and 1300 or so, the modern English period starts. Present-day English has undergone a lot of changes, as you know, and the most important being the effect of the conquering of England by the Prince of Normandy, which was like in the year 1066 or something. From that time, French became the royal language because of the abolition of the manorial system. You have any idea what that is?
No, the abolition of the manor, no.
Abolition of the manorial system. Manorialism is an essential element of a feudal society. It was characterized by the vesting of legal and economic power in, like, the lord of the manor, also called a fief or a fiefdom, you know, from the obligatory contributions of legally subjects, part of the peasant population. You know, where there's peasants, yeah, there's a fiefdom. And other things that occurred, probably some gangs moved around and started doing street slang Saxon, and then they had the Anglo-Latin kings, right? No? So
when
many...
You're
yeah, exactly. So many new words entered the language, and people, in general, became more literate. So that's when they started learning. It was okay for the massive peasant population to learn how to read. I think that's a benefit. Religion gave a lot of Latin words, and the influence of the Romance languages on English is huge. For example, scholars, English scholars, appreciated the classics that paved the way for Greek and Latin words, phrases to enter the language. Learning English was looked down upon by even the English in England, and it was left to Churchill, who made learning English compulsory, even in England. All the progress, though, ended with Shakespeare, who started making up weird words willy-nilly, and all of a sudden no one understood a word anyone said from then on. That was probably about the time the rest of the world started making fun of England.
Mm-hmm.
And to prove my point, let's talk about English units. It's not what you think. So I read a thing online about this. I was doing research. There was a chat room where people were discussing their weight loss results, and I was kind of curious about it, so I clicked on it. Someone posted that they weighed 10 stone.
Uh-huh.
10 stone. We talked about this. It took me a sec to realize that this person was not American. And being curious enough to get myself into trouble, I Googled how much does a stone weigh. And I actually got an answer. You know what it said? Two nails. A stone weighs two nails. Thanks. Thanks for that. What? This is British speak, it turns out. They have their own slang for weight amounts, and this leads me to my next topic of discussion, why the British stink at naming things. But since this is also German-related, because the English that developed in England was a direct result of various German languages, as we just learned. If you think about it, here in America, we have funny names for measurements, too. But let's go over some interesting measurements. So if you look at a chart for these things, you have a stone, you have a nail. Two nails makes up a stone. But you know how we have, like, weird words for the way we measure things?
Like a pinch or a dash?
A pinch or a dash. But is that a real amount? Really, a pinch or a dash? Can you measure that? And every time you take a pinch of something, is it going to be the same as my pinch, going to be the same as your pinch?
No. No.
Your pinch will be bigger because you have bigger hands and bigger fingers than me.
Yes.
Okay, so your pinch might be a half a teaspoon.
That's true. I think
so you got to have a common thing. You got to have a list of measurements, a chart, a tree, if you will, a schema of whatever the measurements are going to be. So they have these in England just like they have them everywhere else. You start with a ton. We'll start with a ton. A ton is a ton, right?
Yeah. Okay. 1,000 pounds?
No, a ton is 2,000 pounds, dude.
2,000 pounds.
Seriously. What? Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
No.
Well, not today.
Not today.
A ton. It's a ton. It's like it weighs a lot, right?
Yeah. It's all I know. Like, it weighs, I can't pick it up. That's in that category.
Well, if you can't pick it up, why even bother thinking about it, right?
Exactly.
That is a totally millennial way of thinking about something. Well, I can't lift it, so it doesn't concern me, so I might as well not even learn about it. That's a total millennial thing. So in England, if you look at a weight chart, this is interesting to me. This is kind of how the language developed, and we have some similar stuff, the way that we measure things. And you and I, we work in measurements. I mean, our lives are measurements. Ounce of this, half a cup of that, quarter cup of this, an eighth of a teaspoon of this. And so we're all about the measurements. You screw up a measurement, you screw up the food. So we're measurements are kind of a big thing for us. And yes, it is important to follow the measurements in a recipe exactly. We start with a ton. They have a ton. In England, means the same thing. But our ton is, you know, whatever, 2,000 pounds. They divide their tons into slightly smaller segments called sacks. Their ton is right. divided right. into sacks. So their sack is a very specific measurement. Well, how many, you know, how many sacks are you shipping today? Oh, I'm shipping 45 sacks. So, you know, you have that. And that's 20 sacks, by the way. Huh. 20 sacks make a ton. That would make the sack like 100 pounds, right?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
Yeah,
so exactly. A sack is, sure, why not? Yeah, it's about that. A sack is divided into four tods. Like your last name?
Really?
Four tods. Also known as a quarter, also known as a long, also known as a short. I find that funny because you can divide a sack into 13 longs or 13 shorts. They have a long and short means the same thing.
Huh.
Yeah, a long shouldn't mean more than a short, shouldn't it?
I agree with you. I'm a little confused right now. Long
yeah,
short.
Well, that's, you know, you're usually kind of confused. But the a ton divides into 20 sacks. A sack divides into four tods, we'll say. Right?
Okay.
So that would be like, I don't know, 500 pounds per tod?
No, four per
sack. Okay, 25. The 100. Okay, that's 25 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay, so 25 pounds is divided, and this is a tod, by the way. We're talking about a tod. A 25-pound tod divides into, uh-huh. and here's where it gets stupid, people. The stone that we were talking about earlier
uh-huh.
is 14 pounds. How can two stones make up a tod if a tod is 25 pounds? That's 28 pounds. Isn't it? Two stones, yeah. 14 pounds each, is supposed to make up a tod?
Which is 20, yeah.
Which, based on the math, has to be 25 pounds. How can two 14-pound stones make up a 25-pound tod? Can we get a British person on the phone? 888-344-1170. Straighten out this bag of snakes. This does not make any sense. I looked this up. I was all over the place. This is probably a good reason why maybe things in England are not being packaged properly. A stone is divided into two nails, meaning a nail is 7 pounds. And then that is divided into 7 pounds. So you have a pound, right? Okay, this is a weight measurement that we can all relate to. This is our pound. Okay, a British pound apparently is like 12 ounces. Huh? If a British pound is 12 ounces, whip out your calculator if you would. Find one. Jeff's in the other. Do you got a calculator in there? Am I going to have to use my app? What's 14 times 12? If 14 times 12 ounces makes up 25 pounds, then we have something. That might make a little bit more sense. So you're taking your British pound, which is 12 ounces. That divides into a pound also known as a tower, also known as a troy, also known as a mark, also known as an avoirdupois, also known as a London and a merchant. They have too many names for things. They all divide up into smaller measurements made up of certain smaller numbers of ounces. Okay, so we're looking at ounces here. We've got our ounce now. An ounce divides into what? In our experience, an ounce divides into what? What does an ounce divide into? Usually we're talking about teaspoons, you and I. So we got an ounce, which divides into 16 drachmas.
Drachmas?
Drachmas. A drachma is the 16th of an ounce, or a dram. Oh, however, in this country, a dram makes up, I think, an eighth of an ounce. We're a 16th of an ounce. I don't know. Maybe at that point, it starts to get a little bit more, make a little bit more sense. Drams are divided into scruples.
Scruples.
There are three scruples in a dram, or a drachma. Same thing. Dram, drachma. Same thing.
It's crazy that you're speaking English because I have a hard time understanding all this.
I know. Me too. And I'm looking at a chart. I am looking at a chart with arrows and little lines telling me that, yeah, what I'm talking about is actually true. A scruple is divided into grains, and that's their smallest measurement. A grain is legally defined as the weight of a grain seed from the middle of an ear of barley. What if you have like a large ear of barley and the grain is slightly bigger? Someone, I think, weighed a million grains. They dried or not dried. And then took like a weight and decided that this is the weight of a grain. That's their smallest measurement. It's said to be about 3/4 of a grain or smaller wheat grain, 48.6 milligrams, basically.
Wow.
That's messed up, right?
That's really messed up.
Yeah, we've got tons. We've got troys. We've got drachmas. We've got cloves and nails. This, you know, and see, I did this to you because you're sick. And I wanted to start talking math. Yeah, this is just proof.
I'm really good at math. I shouldn't be having a problem with this, but I'm thinking that English should be great at math if all their increments aren't even.
Well, you'd think so, but they're going to be describing things in terms you can't understand anyway, so it doesn't matter if they're good at it. If you think about it, here in America, we have funny names for measurements, too. I mean, unless you were born here, you would hear like a cup of what? You know, it's 8 ounces, but there's a lot of different cups. I mean, which cup are you talking about? We have a yard, which makes no sense at all, and is usually the area in the back of someone's house. A foot? Whose foot? You see, this would all be pretty dumb to other countries. Horses are measured in hands, so I guess it's just as normal to weigh people in stones. You got to admit, the pretty British are pretty bad at naming things where a chin wag means a chat and a crusty dragon is a booger. Our names
That's
for things
cool.
are
I'm
going to
keep
cooler.
That one, crusty
yeah.
dragon.
Crusty dragon.
Nice.
Coming up next after this quick commercial break, we'll continue our fantastic Germanic episode of Food Fight. And Dave's coming up pretty soon, Dave the Vitamin Guy. Since Dave is not here, I'm going to have to save up this sweet sauerkraut pie I was going to force him to eat. And since you said it couldn't be done, never tell me something can't be done. I'll just do it. Actually, the pie is pretty good. You had better get over that microscopic menace soon, or you will get this pie in the face.
Yeah, I'll probably actually help clear it up.
Uh-huh. Coming up after this quick break, this is Food Fight Radio.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried to supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county. Specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality and provided in a caring, nurturing and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life.
This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. CharlesCole.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is Food Fight Radio, and welcome back to the all-German episode of Food Fight. I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me on the phone is a seriously sick Chef Marcus. How you doing?
I'm alive.
You're still alive?
Yes, I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. So, you know, we pick on Marcus a lot on this show, and he really is a good guy. In fact, in an effort to help me stave off whatever disgusting thing he has come down with, he's kindly brought me a present, which I saved so that I could bring it into the studio and share the experience with you. That's going to be coming up during the next hour. And since you're not here, you're not going to be able to drink it with me. But Dave the Vitamin Guy is going to be here, and he has no clue what we're going to be doing to him.
Oh, nice. You should put it in a cup so he can't even see the can.
Well, I'm going to show him the can after he tastes it, which I think is especially cruel. That's going to be hilarious. And if you guys want to know what's in that can, you're going to have to stick around. I'm not going to tell you so you can go Google it and say, ew, I'm not listening to that. In terms of the best German pastries, we kind of did a search all through San Diego. You want to make sure that you go authentic. And we found some really nice authentic German pastries. You can find your strudel, your Dutch boys, your Hamantaschen, and anything else that floats your boat at Edelweiss Bakery. They have, Marcus, have you ever been there?
No.
They have locations in Mira Mesa, one in Rancho Bernardo here in San Diego. And they've been making very authentic pastries for decades. Everything is uber fresh, doughy, fantastic. It's the death of your carb-free diet. If you're thinking of committing carbicide, this is your place. They have fruit-filled strudels, cinnamon rolls, sticky this, gooey that. And they have, like, you know those molasses cookies? Those German molasses cookies, they're really, really good.
I love those.
They have those little kind of short, bready, rolled in powdered sugar, like they're flavored with anise. You've had those?
Yes, I'm a big fan of those. I'm a big fan of anise. Oh, that's not too. Yeah.
That stuff is great. See, and every time we start talking about pastries and foods, it's a food show. Yeah, I get that, but you know, it really makes me hungry.
Yeah, me too.
So we purchased a bunch of them, ate them all, and by we, I mean me. You can find photos of my recent binge to Edelweiss. Seriously, folks, I'll use anything as an excuse, really. On our website at foodfightradio.com, some of the treats already have bites taken out of them in the pictures. You're just sort of going to have to kind of forgive me for that. And in terms of tasty sausages, we were talking about Kaiserhof. And, you know, comparing them to the Linkery, it's not that I have anything really against the Linkery. It's just, you know, they take lame sausage. They charge $14 for it. And it's like one sausage. You can get one couture sausage. And it's like $14. It's not necessarily an authentic German sausage at all. And it's a hoity-toity restaurant in a hoity-toity restaurant kind of part of town, which, you know, normally I'm all for. That sort of thing is, I normally like that. But, you know, if you really want authentic food from any, I don't know, specific ethnicity, I think if you're going to have sausage, you should have sausage made by the sausage professionals. right?
Yeah, I'm going to get something done, get it done right.
Get it done right, exactly, because the sides are going to be authentic, which was we were talking about Kaiserhof. So, okay, it's not a $14 couture sausage, but it is sausage and bratwurst and things and escargot, the Weinberg Schneck, and all the tasty stuff, the fine shaksa, the pork shank, very tasty. Those are all really awesome traditional foods, which means they come with all the traditional sides. You know what you're going to get if you go to the Linkery and order a sausage and, you know, you're kind of wondering, okay, what kind of sides am I going to get? This is it going to make the sausage taste better? No, it won't. It's going to be French fries. French fries. Okay, French fries are not French, but they're not German either. And sausage does not go well with French fries. It just doesn't. I'm sorry. The taste combination is not fantastic at all. And the worst plate, very good. The very tasty strudel desserts they have, don't go to the Linkery. It's not that I have a real problem with the Linkery. It's just if you're going to have an ethnic food experience, get it from the people who do it right. Give Deutsch a chance. The beers at Kaiserhof are terrific. What goes better with bratwurst anyway? You know what other food goes great with beer?
What's that?
The dinners at Dine-In Tonight.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah. Where among their 100 tasty dinners, you will also find some German favorites, like a deconstructed Reuben roast with sauerkraut butter. Sauerkraut butter. Yeah, I've had it.
Good.
It's delicious. They also do a great chicken paprika stew that it comes with Spätzle. Do you know what that
okay.
is? You've made that stuff. It's a little,
that's
a German favorite. These cute little baby dumplings. They're great. These guys also have this one dish that has a great blackened chicken and apple sausage. I bring that one up because it's kind of a German thing. You know, tasty sausage show, you know. And we're really kind of...
like a beer poached fish?
Beer poached fish, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, poaching things in beer is a very German thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and it influences a lot of the way that chefs such as you and I, you know, like to make our food. What poaches better than booze? Nothing.
Nothing.
See what I like about booze and alcohol just in general, and it's not what you think. I like that you can put it in any recipe and it makes things kind of enhanced. It brings out the flavors, and you can use almost any kind of wine for any kind of poaching, any kind of beer for any kind of poaching or roasting. Goes great in marinades. Stick something in it, put it in the oven. You know, it's simple. You know, the sausage, yeah, sausage, great. Okay, you know what? The reason we're talking about sausage so much is because Germans love sausage. They love sausage. They love David Hasselhoff. Germans love David Hasselhoff. They do. The Hoff. We're going to be talking about him. There's a whole segment later in the show. Devoted. What are you doing? Are you dialing your phone?
Sorry. I moved my phone away because I was coughing.
You fat-fingered it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, with Dine-In Tonight, you can sign up for either 3 or 5 nights a week and get a whole free extra week when you use promo code KCBQ or just call them at 888-64-MEALS. That's Dine-In Tonight, where your fresh gourmet dinners are always just $10 per meal. You can also sign up online at www.dineintonight.com. That's dineIn, the number 2, NITE.com. So back to our German program. Regarding German food that you can make at home, it's really a lot simpler than you think. You don't have to make sausage from scratch. Really, a very German traditional dish is a hot potato salad. It's not like our potato salad, which is cold. Basically, you're going to boil your potatoes with the skin on, cool it, then peel it and slice it. So they boil better when they have the skins on. They don't get all mushy. Then in a large skillet, you're going to fry some bacon till it's crisp. Remove the bacon. And in the grease, you're going to fry some chopped onions until they're soft. Stir in a little sugar, a little flour, salt and pepper. Mix it well. Add a little water and vinegar. Boil for a minute and then throw in your potatoes and bacon. Simmer it over low and just until it's kind of hot enough to eat, really. It should simmer it for a little while and that's it. It is a hot German potato salad. It's extremely tasty, people. Definitely worth a shot. This week we're going to put this quick and easy recipe up on our website. Another thing you can make is a crock pot sauerbraten. Sauerbraten. It's not made with sausages. It's made with a top round beef steak. Cut it into cubes. You're basically going to, in your crock pot, throw in some beef, some onions, a little broth, vinegar, bay leaves, carrots, potatoes. Kind of stir it up. Cook it for like 8 or 9 hours, which means throw it in there, go to sleep, wake up the next morning, and then you're going to take the cover off, turn the heat up to high, take the bay leaves out, and throw in, get this, some ground up ginger snap cookies and some brown sugar. How cool is that?
That's really cool. I'm getting a little hungry. That's
I know.
Nice.
Me too. Throw in a little sour cream, a little flour to thicken it up, stir it well, and that's your dinner. That's your, I don't know, for me, that would be my breakfast. You can serve that over cooked egg noodles or spätzle. Very, very tasty. Anyway, after this quick commercial break, we're going to continue our conversation about awesome, authentic German treats you can make in your own kitchen, plus weekend foodie update that's coming up next on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to the All German Food Fight Radio. With me on the phone is Chef Marcus, a man who says bacon is through. Finished. It'll never get a job in this town again, see?
See?
Yeah, see? I turned you into a British flatfoot.
Yeah.
So we're talking about German favorites, and once we're done with that, we're going to do a little bit of a new segment we're working on called Weekend Foodie Update. Hamburgers and meatloaves and hot dogs, they're all things that we consider to be American. They're about as American as pasta, really, which is not American at all. It's actually not even Italian, it's Chinese, which I find fascinating. But when you go out and have a hamburger, you are enjoying a traditional, well, not the way we dress it up, but, you know, a lump of ground beef turned into a cooked thing in bread is a German thing. And if you take a big pile of ground beef and flavor it and stick it in the oven and cook it till it's done, that's a meatloaf, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a German thing. Putting a sausage on a bun, putting sauerkraut on it. That's a German thing. It's like
Thank
our favorite.
German.
Yeah. It's our favorite thing. It's a hot dog. You know, so these are not Epicurean adventures. This is just normal food that we eat on a daily basis. Thanks, Germany.
Thank you, Germany.
We love our hamburgers. We really do. I mean, probably, I don't know, each one of us probably eats over 100 hamburgers a year. That's a lot of hamburgers.
That's a lot of hamburgers.
It's a tremendous amount of hamburgers. Do you imagine how much weight we'd lose if we didn't eat any hamburgers, if we just took those out of our life, if we erased those calories from our history? We would all lose like 20 pounds.
Thanks, Germany.
Thanks, Germany. Yeah. You gave us something awesome to do with our fatty, low-quality cuts of beef that will clog our arteries. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. That's fantastic. Way to look out for us. So, continuing with our all-German foodie hits, and don't worry, folks, we will this week put these recipes on here, so, you know, if you're not writing this stuff down, that's okay. We were just talking about crockpot sauerbraten. I like saying crockpot.
Crockpot.
Yeah, crockpot. It's a fun word to say, and crockpots are fun to have. We did a show, I think, was it last week? When we did a show about crockpots? That was just last week, wasn't it? Your memory is fading in your illness, I think, is what's going on. Is it, you just do not sound like yourself. You sound like a big, phlegmy, forgetful person.
I've been walking into the walls and stuff, too, so it's been kind of silly here.
Weird. Next, keep the phone with you because I want to hear that the next time you walk into a wall and fall over. Ow! Crap. So that's going to be funny. We're going to put this crockpot sauerbraten on there. It's cool because you're putting crushed up ginger snap cookies and brown sugar into your stew. That's awesome. Come on. It's obviously not the 100% traditional way to do it because 100 years ago, did Germans have ginger snaps? I don't think they did. But it's a variation. It's an interesting variation. Gives it kind of the same flavor. Instead of just using some hand-milled flour that your papa, you know, went out and milled and collected the grains, and then your mama turned it into flour and then gave you, like, you know, some of this stuff. You're not churning your own sour cream here, but it's a good way to, you know, you're using that ginger snap thing instead of the flour, like in addition to. And, of course, brown sugar. Because if you're going to put cookies in something, you might as well put some extra sugar in it and go all overkill, right?
Of course.
Why not? And then you throw some sour cream in there, and that's your stew. It's probably not 100% good for you. Because sour cream is pretty fatty, you know. And stuff's got, it's, you know, you got a nice fatty piece of beefsteak. You've got cookies, you've got brown sugar, you've got fatty sour cream, you've got potatoes, which are basically just simple carbs. You know, you've got some baby carrots, which are mostly sugars and vitamins, not really too many healthy things floating around in a carrot. You know, they're sweet. Okay, anything that's sweet has natural sugar on it. It's basically like eating a fruit. So it's not the healthiest thing. But and you're putting it on top of egg noodles or spätzle, which are little dumplings, which are just flour-based and, again, simple carbs. This whole meal is very, very decadent, very buttery, very tasty, very fatty. It's got that great liquefied meat fat that, you know, us carnivores really, really enjoy. Other ways to make really quick German changes to a dish, just kind of, you know, just to kind of Germanicize up an entree, would be instead of chicken or pork or beef, use sliced sausages, like in a stew or a soup. Throw that in there. You know what's better than chicken noodle soup?
Nothing.
Sausage noodle soup.
Sausage noodle soup.
Sausage noodle soup. Add a tablespoon of sour cream, maybe a touch of beet juice to make it really shine. Ooh, sausage
that's
noodle. Yeah, that sounds really good, actually. And I always come into this show hungry. I don't know why. I have breakfast. And you had NyQuil, but
yeah,
that's a nice healthy sounding cough there. A nice hearty potato soup is always authentic. I like to put bacon fat in mine, so I don't know. People who know me know that vegans need not RSVP for any of my dinners, right?
True that.
I will, dude. You are a warrior poet. Yeah, word. Stuffing sweet and sour cabbage into a nice, fresh, baked, buttered roll. Okay, nice baked, buttered roll. Pop that sucker open. Carve a little hole in the side. Don't slice it in half. Stuff leaks out when you do that. Just poke a hole in it. Make a little bat cave. And then stuff some sweet and sour cabbage in there. That's good. That's great. On the side of the plate, add that to an otherwise plain old American meal. And now you've got kind of a German meal. Or you can swirl some cabbage into some cornbread you might be putting together. Let's say you're taking a cornbread mix because, you know, not a lot of people are making cornbread from scratch these days. Go to the store, get a cornbread muffin mix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put some sweet and sour cabbage into it or some sauerkraut. Just swirl it in there. Pop it into your muffin tins or however you're making your cornbread muffins or rolls. And then that's part of it. Dump it into a square pan. Put it in the oven. Follow the directions. And now you have some tasty, delicious, slightly sweeter, slightly more moist because the liquid from the cabbage adds to the moistness of the bread. And this cabbage is just very, very versatile here. You can make it sour. You can make it hot, spicy. You can make it sweet. And it's fun. And it's really fun when you use the red kind.
Yeah, because the colors get everywhere. You can color things with that all the time. The red cabbage is a lot of fun to play with.
Is that one of the things that you talked about coloring eggs with?
Yes.
Purple cabbage?
Uh-huh.
Is that one of them? Because, you know, beets work great for that, too. And yes. You can do the same thing with beets. You can make them sweet or sour or hot or spicy, right? You can do that with beets. Exactly. You can do that with cabbage. And the red cabbage has this beautiful jewel tone to it. It's just absolutely gorgeous. That's another dish, actually, that Dine In Tonight does, is they do this great brisket, which isn't really brisket's generally not thought of as a German thing, but they make it all the time over there. So it's good, nice, traditional German cuisine. That one comes with like a sweet and sour jewel tone red cabbage. So that's another one of the meals that they make. So, again, they're very diverse. They make over 100 entrees. They're our favorite sponsor. We love them. We eat that stuff all the time whenever we get the chance, so it's a lot of fun. But a good, obvious way to Germanicize, if that's a word, is that a word? Germanicize? I don't know. Have somebody Google it. Somebody out there Google it. Call me and tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to be botching up plenty of German words on this show, and I would like someone to call me out on it and correct me. You can curl up sweet cabbage into the store-bought rolls. You know, the kind you can take a roll, one of the Pillsbury kind. You flatten it, and then you put some sweet cabbage in there, maybe a little butter, and you roll it up just like a cinnamon roll. Has the cabbage inside. And then you cook it. So, again, easy way to Germanicize your food is to put cabbage, sausage, beets in it, and also pretty much any kind of stew. Is going to be
mustard also.
Yeah, perfect, fabulous. A little bit of mustard. Put that. Sometimes you can put that in thick soups and bisques and stews and potato soups and things like that. Just a little bit of it adds a tremendously deep flavor, a very complex flavor. Pick any kind of mustard: a honey mustard, a spicy mustard, a whole grain mustard. The purple kind that they put beet stuff and horseradish in. Very spicy. Any kind of mustard, really. You can put that into any kind of thick soup, bisque, stew, anything like that. And it doesn't necessarily create a German flavor, but it does make it taste infinitely more complex and deep. And it creates an amazing flavor in a lot of things. So coming up on a future show, actually, that does give me a really good idea. We can do things that you can put mustard in. So coming up after this break, we are going to be doing the weekend update. Dave the Vitamin Guy is going to be here coming up next.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.